I think we're live.
We are. And on the radio. Welcome to Unleash Your Courage. This is Angela Schroeder, and this week, for our kickoff guest, we have James Mansky. Thank you for joining us, James, as the first guest.
I'm super excited to be here. Congratulations on the new show. It's going to be an amazing beginning to a lot of good things.
Thank you.
So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, and thanks for your patience with technology, just as we were getting that all figured out. That's the part of this I don't love, but we'll do our best. So, James, we're just going to kick it off. I love on this series, I said Unleash Your Courage was all about learning from other people's stories and stories of courage. So instead of me giving you a big introduction, just tell us a little bit about you, your beginnings, your start as a young entrepreneur.
Yeah. So, I started not in a business family. So nobody in my family, my parents weren't entrepreneurs. They always worked for somebody else. So at an early age, I don't know what it was besides just good parenting that my parents taught me the value of a dollar and the value of hard work. So when I was in elementary school, I started actually selling pop and golf balls to golfers behind my house, my parents' house, and realized that, you can create something out of nothing. So that kept going and growing. After about 2 years, as a 9-10 year old, we were making like $75 a week or $150 a week for both of us. And it got to a point where the golf course owner came to my parents' house and said, I was taking too much business away from the cart girls and the pro shop, so I needed to stop what I was doing. So at an early age, I realized competition. I realized how to take something and sell it. And continuing throughout middle school, high school is when I started my main business, lawn and landscape company here in Omaha, Nebraska. And it was the same thing. It was, what can I do just to keep myself busy, but also make money and pay for stuff that I want? So like I said, my parents really instilled early on that, whatever I want, I need to work for so I can buy myself. So I had to actually buy my first two vehicles and pay for insurance and pay for health insurance and everything along the way. So it really gave me appreciation for working and work ethic. So then fast forward, 15, 20 years later, I still have that same business and we're growing at a crazy rate. We have 7 different divisions all across turf, landscape, sprinklers, holiday lighting, snow, and in the process was able to create other companies that tied into it. So now I've been more of coaching, consulting. Real estate is big on my list of passive income to do the stuff that we want to do in life. But that all started with mowing lawns. So it all began with what I would like to do and what I knew how to do. And now it's turning into passive income. So now I'm just teaching and continuing to build a business and growing at an exponential rate, but also how to work smarter, how to work for foundations, how to work for giving back to the community, how to work for what I truly love. And it doesn't feel like work anymore when you can do all those things day in and day out. So it's kind of in a nutshell what I've kind of been doing.
Well, I love that. And I love the entrepreneurial beginnings and that spirit from the beginning of creating something and it being your own. I talk a lot about, I love the correlation, the similarities in that business owners, entrepreneurs take risks more often, make courageous decisions more often, and it becomes like instinct. If you can think about like a courageous decision, I mean, 20 years is a lot, but a courageous decision that you have to make, that you had to make, or something that felt scary or that you were scared of at the time.
Yeah, there's been so many of them that I don't even remember them all. But I know one big one is, just the decision to hire the first person or to take that first leap into your first building, right? So getting out of your house or out of a storage unit and actually getting into a leasable space. Those are big commitments, right? You have to sign a 3 to 5 year lease. You have to create enough work to have somebody that's hired. So all those took very diligent decisions that took a leap of faith, but it was also courage that pushes forward of here's where the vision is, right? Here's where we're going. We can't do that without this, this, and this. So throughout all of it, I mean, every year there's more decisions that come up that being a business owner, being a leader, we have to be courageous. We have to be able to be firm of what we believe and what we truly want. And does it align with where we're going to make those decisions?
Exactly. Do you remember at the time them feeling like people ask me stories of, you know, starting businesses or taking big turns and big leaps? And they're like, wow, that was a big risk. And when I look back, I think I'm like, I feel like that at the time, I just did it. When you think of looking back at that, do you remember feelings of fear or do you feel like you just had that instinct to be like, next thing, next thing?
Yeah, no, I think it was a ton of fear back then, especially early on when you're, you know, 18, 19, 20, all the way up to last year, all that stuff. There's still a lot of fear in the back of your mind of what if, but as I grew and you keep doing those types of decisions, then you just almost don't even think about the what ifs. It's how can I, how do we make this work? Right. Then it doesn't matter about the risk because everything has a risk in it involved. So it's something that, you kind of train yourself and your mindset to not worry about how it could go wrong, but how do we make this work?
I like that. Changing the what if scenario to, how is it going to work? Not what if I fail?
Exactly.
I wrote this as a question I was going to ask everyone, and I don't even know how to answer it myself, but you get it anyway. What does courage mean to you?
I think that, to me, courage is more of the ability to not feel fear, right? Or it's just getting out and doing something that might take some risk, but you know that you're powerful enough to make sure that you can't fail at it. So everything needs courage day in and day out to get up, to go to work, to perform, to make sales calls, to hire, to fire, to acquire businesses. It all takes courage. But to me, it means that you're strong. Like that's the only way that you're able to move forward and learn from what you were yesterday. Without having that courage, I mean, you're in the same spot. You're stuck every single day of here's where I like to be in my little self-contained bubble. So courage is stepping out of that. And that bubble keeps expanding year over year over year, where there's going to be different hurdles, bigger risk, bigger problems, bigger headaches, less sleep at night maybe, but you don't expand that bubble, that sphere until you go through that courage.
Yeah. That's like the courage is a mess. The risks get bigger and bigger, but you're tolerance gets stronger and stronger. Your courage is a muscle, like you're used to taking those risks and it doesn't, you know, as they compound, it doesn't mean that the fear compounds.
100%.
So I like that. I didn't say at the beginning, if you are joining us on Facebook, you can leave in the comments questions if you want. And all the technology wise, I will try and figure out how to read the questions. So if you have questions, last week you guys had a lot of great ones, please leave your questions and we'll incorporate those too, whatever questions you might have for us.
And one question might be, you know, what's that chirping noise in the background? That is my 95-pound dog, so bear with me. We're still in the office and she probably wants to go home because she realizes that everybody else has gone out of the office. If you hear some chirping, it's probably her. It's not a bird.
I don't hear Callie.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so last week I talked about setting up, and I talk about in the book a lot about how what separates, I feel like, successful people and the most successful people are those that go the extra mile, are setting yourself up to take courageous decisions. Like, how do you support your mindset? How do you, you know, what is your morning routine, habits, all the things around that look like, of like, what is leading yourself well to set up the mindset and set up your life to make, to take risks more often. So what does that mean to you? Like, what is leading yourself well? I entered a whole lot of capacities there. So whatever of those you want to dive down.
You know, it always starts with ourselves and who and how we're getting information from. So before anybody's going to make courageous decisions, we have to work on ourselves first, right? So for the longest time, I didn't have people that really stretched me like a rubber band, right? It was people that I was associated with, like in high school, college, and the day in, day out, just grind mentality, but not the think bigger mentality. So once I started getting in those rooms with different mentors and different coaches, that's really when it changed for me. Then it was, you have courage to do more, and because you have a more life purpose. So figuring out like what your goals are first is the biggest thing, and working on yourself and your own mindset's big, but you don't know you need to have courage if you don't know what you're working towards. So to get up first thing in the morning, if you're unsure of what your goals are, if you don't know what's going to happen in 2023, how are you gonna have courage to make it through the day, right? You're just in limbo, you don't know what's going on. So by setting those massive goals, those big targets, those benchmarks of what you want to accomplish, whether personal, professional, financially, or just in your company, your community, your family, all of that stuff, you have to have some sort of vision of where you're going before you can make courageous decisions. And then once that vision is there, those courageous decisions don't seem very hard to make anymore. So it gets easier and easier. Like you said, it's like a muscle, because then it's, you're not really looking at the risk. It's, how do we accomplish this? How do we accomplish this over here? And it's more strategic courage, not so much scared and timid courage, right? So there's different ways to be courageous. And I think that when you have that blueprint of where you're going, you'll figure out the best path. It might be difficult. You're going to have to make some tough decisions. You're going to need courage to tread forward, go through the marshes, go through the forests, everything. But you know what's on the other side. And once you know what's on the other side, that's what makes it easier to make those decisions and just have that strength to lead a team to get there.
I like those analogies. And I agree that the people that, I mean, I agree with all of that, but I do think one of the biggest things is those people that stretch you. So I love that analogy of the rubber band of, it's not necessarily just mentors that are doing things that are bigger or surrounding yourself with the right mindsets of people that you want to be like. But like you said, people that that stretch you, that push you, that challenge you. And that's uncomfortable, right? Sometimes we get mentors and coaches in our lives that stretch us, and that does not feel good. And so it's easier not to have those people in our lives, people that stretch you and challenge you to do better, because that's so much different when we talk about and think about people that we become, like the people that we surround ourselves with. It's different than just surrounding yourself with big thinking people that are just thinking big for themselves and not pushing you to be better.
Yeah, 100%. And even with the rubber band analogy, you can be stretched in the wrong way too, right? You could be stretched to do stuff you don't want to do. You could go down a dark path of things that are pulling you further away from your goal and your dreams. But if you also let up, or you don't continue to be in that community of positive thinking people, right, that rubber band just going to go right back to how it is when you're not stretching it. So it's something that you have to continually do with your mindset. It's not just a once a year conference, right? It's not a once a, a month book. Like, you have to be thinking differently to expand your brain, your vision, your mindset at all times. Otherwise, you just go back to how you were before, and then you plateau. And then that's when you are scared. You don't want to take risk. You don't want to try to grow. You just go back into your own little bubble.
Yeah. So true. That it is a continuous thing. And that's a good point of not one conference, not one podcast, not one book, not one thing that's making you think different, but constantly submersing yourself in it, regardless of how uncomfortable it feels. How do you feel like you've evolved as a leader since the beginning? And I say this and we'll make fun of myself first. Russell asked me this question when I was on the morning show on Turf's Up about leadership and mentoring and how in the beginning, like how I was as a leader in the beginning and helping other business owners in the beginning versus how I am now. And when I had to really stop and think about that, not at the time in answering the question, but after the show, of like, man, I was tragic. I mean, I know we all grow, but my leadership, I said in the beginning, was I just thought everyone should be like me. And I think I said I plowed over people, but I just thought the way to get things done and the way to lead people to get things done was like, here's the way you're doing it, and you just need to do it better. You need to push harder, work harder, do 10 times as much as you're doing, put it more effort in, believe in yourself more, just do more. And if you just go faster, push harder, do more, it'll work. And it didn't matter about what you thought about it or feelings or obstacles like internally that were holding you back from that. And I know that meant I wasn't a great leader to not only people that I was mentoring, but, you know, team members. As a parent, I'm sure if my kids are watching, they would say that. I didn't think about feelings because I didn't want to care about my own. So my leadership is of all, I'll make fun of myself first. Like I said, I was the kind of leader that just said, get it done. No excuses. I don't even want to like hear you talk about what you think or feel about that. And that's come a long way of maybe everyone needs a little bit different leadership and questions and everyone has, you know, maybe it's about something different that they're struggling with that's holding them back. So that's a long, detailed question of how do you feel like you've evolved as a leader?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, and that's something too that there's no book on leadership that's going to help you be a better leader. Yeah, you can get certain things from it, or you can listen to how some people handled certain situations, but you learn by just leading, right? The leader I am this year is way different than the leader I was in 2022. So the biggest thing that kind of shifted it for me was, how do I help people achieve what their goals are? And once you figure out what their goals are, then you can guide them down a path of how to excel in your company or how to be a better team member for your organization. But if you don't know what they're truly passionate about or what their end goal is, you're not going to be able to align at all on your leadership skills. So you first need to know what they want and then how to help them get what they want. And along the way, that's when you can delegate more, right? You can give more responsibility. You can promote more. So it's all things that first tie into what they want. And then secondly is how can they get it? Being the best leader is just being a good friend. Right. So you truly care about people. You ask about their weekends, their family, all that stuff. And it's something that most people don't do that. Most business owners don't do that. So just by doing a little bit to ask how they're doing, how their family's doing, how are their kids doing, what trips they're going on, how are your goals coming along? They're all things that are going to create a better leader than if you don't do any of those things, if that makes sense. That was kind of a long-winded answer too, but it all depends on what they want.
Yeah.
And then you lead around what your experiences were, right? Because they're looking for us as business owners, for our knowledge in our company. So of course we're not going to lead them to the path of failure, but here's how you do what I've learned to excel in your career or in our company and elevate yourself along the way. And here's the career path.
No, I love that. seeking what they want first instead of, I think that's what I was doing, pushing my agenda on people instead of asking questions first. So we're going to attempt to take our first commercial break for those of you on Turf's Up, and we will be right back.
Creating art from darkness. For over 20 years, Cast Lighting has designed and manufactured the world's most durable, energy efficient, and technically advanced landscape lighting products available at astonishingly affordable prices. Cast offers an all-encompassing line of products with everything you need to get the job done. Cast Landscape, their most durable product, is best-in-class, low-voltage landscape lighting made of solid bronze with integrated and drop-in LED technology. These fixtures are built to endure the most demanding environments. Source Lighting, a new division by Cast, is your source for professional grand landscape lighting made of durable brass, offering both integrated and drop-in LED technology and backed by Cast, the world's most durable outdoor lighting. Cast Lighting gives you innovative, state-of-the-art, old-world craftsmanship with tomorrow's technology. Visit their website at cast-lighting.com today. That's cast-lighting.com.
From the East Coast to the West Coast and around the world, no one rocks like Turf's Up Radio. Turf's Up Radio, your industry, your station.
Hey, landscape pros, the right tool storage and organization is the right start to a productive day for you and your crew. Gemplers has the sharp, sturdy tool racks you need to get your shop in top shape. Here's what landscape pro Don Bischoff of the Don Landscaping loves about Gemplers tool racks.
When I finally was able to have my own shop, I ended up saying, we're going to make this as organized as possible. And when I found the Gemplers tool racks, I was like sold, because they can hold a lot of weight, and I like it. It looks sharp. It looks sharp to your employees. One of the things I always stress to them is if we're not organized, we're not going to be efficient. If we're not efficient, then we're not going to make money. And if we're not making money, then I can't go out and do fun stuff with you, like go to a Reds game or go get lunch for the afternoon.
If keeping your shop organized, better productivity, and making more money sounds good to you, do what Don did. Shop Gemplers.com for Gemplers Tool Racks.
And we're back. Okay. On to some more questions.
Seamless.
If we think the technology has gone seamless, that is not right. Those of you watching on Facebook Live, like the camera and all worked, and then it suddenly didn't work, and then the sound didn't work right before we got on, and eventually, many episodes in, I will figure out all of the technology.
Technology is always fun. It never wants to do exactly what you want it to do, so everybody bear with it.
Exactly. Okay, so on to more things. I want to explore what made you, we haven't talked a lot about your book, coaching, things like that. So what sparked an interest, or what made you want to write a book and help other people in your industry be successful?
Yeah, so this had to be about, I believe about 2.5 years ago or so. We've got, you know, we work with a lot of service providers in our community with different areas we don't service, or we're too busy, we'd give away some services. And one of those service providers still working with us today, but he wanted to sit down. He wanted to pick my brain on how I'd built my business and where we're going, and just wanted to, you know, just talk shop. And, you know, after sitting with him for a couple hours, and seeing all the stuff that he improved, and he actually set up another one-on-one meeting, you know, several months later, the next year, I can't remember exactly, but his numbers grew 88% just after implementing some of the stuff I told him from 1 year to the next. So I realized that the stuff that I've learned, although very painful and very, very, very expensive, would be beneficial to people in the industry, or contractors, or typically any type of business, working with even people in medical fields like private practice. So that led me to write my first book, which is Thinking Horizontally, and kind of talks about all aspects of business, from sales to your team members, to marketing, to reselling, to analyzing your data. But it was just a way to give enough information to help people with whatever avenue they're looking at. And several months later after the book, you know, people started asking again, like, hey, can we just sit down? Can we talk? And thanks, Edward. And shout out to Edward. And, you know, it also aligned with the vision of where I wanted to see myself, you know, in my 10-year goal, my 50-year goal of how do we help more people? Because I want more people to be successful in their own businesses. I want people to impact their communities. I want them to create more career opportunities in their business. So it all kind of aligned with how we can help people locally. Now it's spreading throughout the nation. But with the biggest goal of we just need to help more people, because helping people helps more people. And I think it's a huge chain reaction that we can all work on, no matter what our industry is. There's always people that need help. And if you're doing it for the money, then you're in it for the wrong reasons, because that's not how it works. So we're trying to help as many people as possible just through coaching, consulting, free webinars, you know, free content, free everything that we can give for free, because I believe that it's going to come back tenfold. So that's how, from before the book to kind of where things are now. But the biggest thing is just helping people understand and realizing they don't know what they don't know. And that is a huge amount of business, is not knowing what's going to happen this year, not knowing what's going to happen next month or next week, or when you hire your first person or your 100th person, right? So it's all a learning curve. And no matter what stage of business you're in, there's different pain points, there's different hurdles, there's different, as Dan Plata likes to call them, purgatories. That somebody has already gone through it. Why not leverage what they've already learned so you don't take two steps back, or don't go out of business, or don't go bankrupt, right? So people have already done it. Now we just need to make sure other people can do it too.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you have built up an amazing community that, I mean, not only you support, but that supports each other, which has been fun to watch. I was going to weave this into the beginning of the story, or the beginning of the show and the story, but I was so consumed with that I was sitting in the dark all of a sudden. So many of you asked on the last show in the comments whether you knew me before or whether you have just met me through Turf Sub Radio, how I ended up with the show on Turf Sub Radio and in the green industry. And that is through James. So introduction story of my book. I will make you read that introduction story to know it all. But I was totally at a place of stuck in my life after starting and owning businesses and coaching business owners, but was at a place of stuck in my life and met James. And he was a great coach and mentor of loaning courage as I started a new business and fulfilled a life. He had just written his book and so got me into that book program and fulfilled a lifelong dream of writing a book of my own. And then through the business that I started, of virtual assistants, was able to help brand his brand and help build his, our virtual assistants were able to help him build his coaching business. And so I was honored to get to be a part of building that community and meeting some great people in the green industry and in that community. And then I may have shared that part on last week, but then through one of the events that we hosted, James has been on Dan Plata's show, Bookkeeping Beer and BS, that we were just on before this, for a while now, maybe almost a year.
Yeah, probably been about a year.
Yeah.
It was quick.
And great show. You guys should check it out. It's always great and goes so quickly. But then Dan came to an event, the mastermind that we did in Omaha. And then I was a guest on the show, and here we are. So
everything is a stepping stone to something else.
Everything, you never know the connections that you're going to make and what opportunities and doors that they're going to open. But I got to see firsthand, like I said, I experienced how great you are at loaning courage and coaching and mentoring, like experienced that difference myself, but then witnessed just what a great community. So do you want to talk about that a little bit, your Tuesday lives? And
yeah. So, I mean, when Angela started asking questions and how, what my goals were, like that was the point when in my coaching and mentoring that I didn't even know what the answers were. So kudos to you for helping with your whole company with that brand and building my community that is just, it's people helping people now. But in the beginning it was, how do we help people, right? How do we help the first person? So without you and your team's help, we wouldn't have been able to do what we do or create those events or create all the awesome materials that help businesses. And in the works of during all of that, we started the Tuesday Night Lives, which is every, I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore, Wednesday. So that was last night. But it's every Tuesday night, 7:30 Central. And we just talk on a different topic every week. We touch on some training. But my most enjoying part of each week is the beginning where we talk about everybody's wins. Mm. So we're building people up. We're building on what everybody's excited about. And of course, there's open to Q&A. So it's completely free. You can get it on my website, jamesmansky.com, for the link at the bottom. And there's every single week, like I said, we touch on something new or depending on what's going on in the industry. So the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about goal planning, strategy for the year. Next week, we're going to be talking about how to create the marketing campaigns and what to focus on different times of the season. So it's all geared towards our industry, but there's also people that are other contractors or they are in a completely different part of the US that have just questions on marketing. So every week we get a touch on those. But I love seeing just how far people have come since it started about a year and a couple months ago to where people have grown their businesses mm-hmm. to this time. So it's a very fascinating and humbling experience to be able to have had you create that with me, Angela, and just have that open to the public. Like, it's not something that you have to pay thousands of dollars a month to get access to business owners from around the US of people that have done that or are currently doing it, and how we can learn from each other in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a great community and neat, like you said, watching how people have grown and then the collaboration and the community. So shout out to Edward and David. I know you guys are on. I don't know who else might be on watching, but part of the community and being on. But it is so important to find a community. And if I figure out how, you guys, I will post in the comments our social links to follow that. And I will put those on the – oh, yay.
There it went.
You did that. I didn't even do that, thanks to my assistant. But we'll also post them in the show notes if you're listening afterwards to find opportunities for that. But community is so important, as we talked about earlier, in the circle of people you're surrounding yourself with, being in a community that stretches you, that is not only a place to learn and learn those fundamentals and learn the blueprint, but people that are there to celebrate your wins, like you talked about, kicking off each week with that. People that are there as a safe space to be vulnerable. It's not always easy being an entrepreneur. It's isolating. And we've talked a lot about that and on different things of, it's not always a safe space to share with other people. You know, your goals and dreams aren't always safe to share with people who might diminish them. But sometimes when you're in a moment of defeat, you need a place to be vulnerable and share that's safe for that as well. So I love that. Oh, go ahead.
Couldn't have agreed more.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't have agreed more. And I was just pulling up some things that I touched on last night that kind of go hand in hand with it. But we went over like the 7 steps of your yearly planning. And number 7 was community. So being in that positive community, it's a great time to reevaluate who and what circles you were in last year. And are they elevating you and helping you? Or are they holding you back or hurting you? Right. So are they where you want to be? or are they helping you and helping them be to where everybody wants to better themselves? So that's something that we just talked about too. And I can't stress enough how important those are, because I was in that, especially in college. I mean, not so much after college, but I was in those circles of just looking forward to the weekend. And then that's it. And there was no talking about achievements and talk. So when you're not in a group of business owners or people that are elevating themselves, it's painful. You can't talk about payroll issues, or you can't talk about hiring issues. You can't talk about, I just lost this customer, or how am I going to pay rent on my building? Like, whatever comes up, some of your friends or some of those even family members, they're not going to know what to even tell you. So you have to find that community of mentors, coaches, business owners in your community or elsewhere, that are pushing you to do better. So I never want to be the top person in my circle, right? I always want somebody else that's where I'm going, or where I want to be in some aspect of life, whether that be personally or financially or business minded. But as soon as you're the top person in that circle and you can't discuss anything else, like, it's time to make a new circle, and you're looking up to somebody else in that circle.
Yeah, exactly. And you talked about earlier in, like, the risks and courageous decisions, and that conversations are different around the what if, that those other people, when you share worry, it all leads to worry. They say things that make your what if in your mind, or like, what if you fail? What if it goes wrong? What if this happens? And completely change your mindset instead of what if? What if you accomplished 10 times what you thought you did? What if this? What if it's different? So, but it is interesting. I feel like even a year ago, or 2 years ago for sure, but probably even a year ago, I so thought, like we said at the beginning, that the circle, that the community was really all about just elevating, was all about the learning, the mindset of think bigger, dream bigger, of that, instead of, like your analogy of stretching like a rubber band and challenging you in so many ways, like calling you out. Like, are you, as you evaluate your circle, I would have evaluated it a year ago probably as, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. I don't want to be the most successful person in the room. I want to learn from people that are doing more. And it was all about, are these people cheerleaders and pushing me because they're better to do more? But it's changed in that I don't think I used to evaluate it in, do people stretch me and make me intentionally make me uncomfortable? Because I probably would have stepped out of those.
Sure. And you wouldn't have known until you go through it, right? So, I mean, people might think they're in a great circle right now, until you get to the next circle.
Yeah.
That's filled with more winners or more uplifting people or more encouragement and pushing you to do big things. So, I mean, the unknown is very true. But especially if there's anybody negative or just not going anywhere in the circles you're with, like, that's, and any circle is going to be better than that circle, right? But you just don't know until you realize how much different you react and how much different your life changes once you find those communities, like any kind of support system or networking groups or a, I can't even think of those three-letter analogies or those three-letter acronyms that every city has for business owners, but one of those. I don't want to promote one of them because there's probably thousands of them.
Yeah.
But all of those, I mean, especially if you can get around people, business-minded or business owners, then you can have deep conversations of what's going on, how did you fix it, how would you do something different, and everybody roots for each other.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take one last commercial break, and then we will be back to wrap it up.
Fed up with your current software solution? Field Routes is the cloud-based software technology you need to level up your lawn care business. From routing to scheduling, collections, marketing, reporting, and more. It's the all-in-one solution that automates, not complicates. Field Routes helps lawn care companies simplify, scale, and grow. Schedule your free demo today by visiting fieldroutes.com. That's fieldroutes.com.
You're listening to Turfs Up Radio, the only radio station of its kind dedicated to the green industry. Turfs Up Radio, your industry, your station.
Hey everybody, Wayne Vohs, The Prophet, your host of Prophet Time here on Turfs Up Radio. If you listen to my show, you know I'm all about profit. As an industry, profit is something we fail to meet most of the time. If you're working hard but not seeing the results that you deserve, Profits Unlimited is here to help. We offer processes and systems designed specifically to make your company more successful, more profitable, and certainly more efficient. When you're ready to take your company to the next level, reach out to me at profitsareus.com. That's profitsareus.com. And don't forget to turn into Profit Time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m.
Are you a military family with a spouse on deployment away from home? Did you know that nonprofit Project Evergreen has thousands of volunteers across the country ready to help military families with lawn, landscape, and snow removal services? We call it Green Care and Snow Care for troops. If you are a military family and would like to receive this free service, or if you'd like to volunteer to help, visit projectevergreen.org. Project Evergreen, creating a greener, healthier, cooler earth, one yard at a time.
All right, and we are back. We are going to, I'm going to do a couple questions before we wrap up. So I don't have them loaded in the right way. I think this is David. James, what do you think was the hardest, most courageous decision in your business that you had to make?
Oof. I might need to think of that. There's been so many. I think the hardest decision is probably to let somebody go when you know you really need them because they produce, but they don't align with the culture, or they were maybe cancerous, but they produced really, really well and the customers really like them. So I'd say that was probably one of the most hardest things. But as soon as you do that, it opens up doors to better people. So we replaced that person thinking that we couldn't replace them. Pretty quickly. And the amount of headaches that it reduced and the amount of stress it reduced of just not having to worry about a negative person in the organization. I wish I would have done it sooner. So that's probably the hardest decision until I can think of another one. I mean, there's hard ones every single day, every single week. But I don't really look at them as hard anymore. I just have to be firm of whatever decision I'm going to make. And that takes courage. So if I think of another one, I'll let you know.
No, that's, I would agree. People decisions are the hardest because I think they weigh the most on, like it agrees to both things that you said. It is easier for me to be firm on a decision when it does not involve someone's feelings or people. Right? Like any other courageous decision that seems just about me, no matter the financial risk or other risks involved, I can be all in on the decision and it didn't feel. But things that involve people, I think we remember more as a courageous decision because it's like, oh, that was hard.
It is. It's tough. And especially when you're dealing with people's careers or their lives.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything takes courage. And even now, my courageous decisions are they are more backed by numbers and facts. So for me, courage is, okay, do I have the data behind me to make this decision in the best way? So if the data is not there to make that decision, whether it even be firing, if the data is not there, then you don't have to be in those situations. And when it is there, then it's like, okay, now that's insurance. Let's get this done. Let's not even think about it because there's 20 things after this to think about. And, you don't really want to ever get hung up on those decisions or those, if they're hard or whatever they are, if they take just more brain power, whatever, but you can't get hung up on those because it's taking away that much thought, that much of your drive from something else of what you should be doing. So most of my decisions are like instantaneously.
Yeah.
Right. What's going to happen with this? Let's make a decision right now.
Yep.
And especially if it's something that's very financially heavy, okay, you'll take a little bit more time to decide on, but you still need to be able to make those decisions quick, because there's, like I said, there's your brain is thinking about the next thing already. So don't get hung up in the day-to-day and small stuff whenever you get put in those situations.
Yeah, exactly. The day-to-day, that reminds me, this is just a funny moment. I know that I am teetering on, like, that I've made the wrong big decision, or I didn't follow my gut on a big decision, or I'm doing something wrong with it, when I can't make basic life decisions. That is always the, like, all right, take a step back. An example, I was packing for all these trips and I could not figure out what backpack to take. I strategically needed to take this huge backpack that I did not like because it was not cute. And I seriously FaceTimed 10 people. I'm like, which backpack should I take? Which is not like me. Because I just, you know, couldn't make a big decision. So there was a vulnerable.
Well, and a lot of those things, if they're reoccurring decisions, then there needs to be a process in place for those, for how to handle or answer those or decide on those, right? Not just for a backpack, but you could just buy a traveling backpack, for example. But if you're having those same tough decisions like every month or every quarter, yeah, every year in business, then you need to just create a process or document of like, yes, okay, when that happens again, I'm going to do this, 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 this. So you can not even think about it. Maybe it's 5 years from now, right? You never know what's going to happen. But yeah, being able to document all those too should be able to take a lot more off your mind when that situation comes back up.
Yes. That's why I wear black every day and make less decisions, people. Can't make a decision on a black backpack.
Exactly. Yeah, look at Steve Jobs when he was alive, right? It was jeans and a black shirt every single day.
Yep.
Because he didn't want to bog down his mind from making the decision of what to wear every single day so he could focus on everything else. So yeah, if you kind of cut those things out of your day of what am I going to do for dinner, or what am I going to do this week, or what am I going to wear, or what am I going to, you know, say in this situation, like just simplify as much as possible so you can leave more room for growth and better things.
Yeah, exactly. More decision-making power. All right, this time is going so quickly. Okay. What is something you've learned in the last year or last couple of years that changed your perspective, your business, or your life, or all three?
One thing I've learned is that there's no shortage of business opportunities or money for us, like as for customers, like there's always customers, right? We don't need to be struggling to find work to do. So especially in our industry, it's something that there's no short, like there's no cap on how much we can or can't grow each year. And early on, I thought that that was weird thinking, right? I thought that I know I've mentioned this to some of you before that are listening, but I thought like the 10% growth year over year was healthy because that's what giant companies do. But why not 100% growth? Why not 1,000% growth, right? So there's something that turned on me or turned inside of my mind that, you know, there's no shortage of what we're capable of. So without limiting our beliefs, we're capable of doing so much more. And honestly, once people start making money and you think life's going to change, life doesn't change. It's the exact same of who you were before you had money as when after you had money. So you can buy the fancy cars, the nice houses, go on trips, all that stuff. But I found out that once you hit that certain level, let's say you're trying to get to $1 million this year or $5 million or $10 million, not much really changes after you did that, except there's more hurdles, there's more pain points, there might be more stress, there's definitely more taxes. So you have to go back to what you truly like. Like what do you truly want to do that makes you fulfilled? So I learned a lot of that in 2022. And that was something that I'll probably carry forward forever. But over the last couple of years, it was more of, this was probably 2020 and before, it was just thinking too small. And it was not how to be a better person, how to be a better leader, how to be a better community member. So realizing that after you hit those milestones, whatever you set, you're not changing that much besides the milestones reached. So you have to tie something personally to that milestone too. How am I going to be a better person when we do hit 10 million or 50 million or 100 million, right? So it's not just about business or sales goals or crew sizes or all that stuff. It's what do you truly want yourself to be at that point? And something that I know, Angela, I know you've read, and something that I still have on my coffee table. It's a tiny read for everybody, and whoever came to the mastermind also got it in their VIP bags. But it's a small poem, and it's a book also called The Dash. So the book is really quick and easy. You can read it in 15 minutes. You can probably read it online. But it talks about it on your headstone. Everybody has and talks about the day they were born and the day they were laid to rest, right? But the most important thing is the dash in between the birthday and the day they passed away. So what do you want your dash to symbolize when they talk about you at your eulogy? So that was a big thing when the last year and a half or so, that I was really thinking of, what do I want my dash to represent? What do I want the stories to be told to my great-grandchildren or people in the community when they think of me? So definitely recommend getting that book. Did I answer your question? I don't know what the question was. I kind of just spaced out for a little bit.
I'm like, I don't remember what the question was either now. I was like, oh, the dash makes me cheer up. I will make sure and share it here and other places. But the dash is powerful. It makes me cheer up. What did you learn in the last? You shared a lot of you learned. There's no limit in business. And what do you want your legacy to be? But I strongly recommend that dash. It's, whew.
And that'll help everybody kind of realize what they're doing is important. No matter what you're doing, you want that legacy, right? We're all business owners. We can't just, you know, something's got to come out of it.
Yeah.
So that's what I learned.
Yeah. And it's focusing on, it's not just the grind and the thing, like what really is most important in the lives that you're impacting and like, what are you really doing? It's a very good check. Okay, I'm getting through my last couple questions, and then Edward is finishing us off with the last one. I'm going to skip all the funny ones at the end. We're going to have to do a panel of my funny rapid fire questions, so stay tuned for that because I'm not letting James out of those. But two things, I'm just going to say them both, and then we have one final question from Edward. What are you scared of? And then I'm going to tell you, we can answer after that, one piece of wisdom you want to leave us with. But first, what do you, since this is a podcast about courage, what are you scared of?
Yeah, I'm scared of looking back and realizing that I didn't do enough, or I didn't, it's kind of just building on that. I don't want to go, you know, into retirement or even into my 40s or 50s or 60s, looking back on this year, thinking I could have done more, and that for business or personal life or whatever that looks like. But I just don't want the regret. So I think the fear is of time and not doing enough with my time, or not allocating wasted time towards something that's more beneficial. I kept that one short for you.
That's a good one though. Okay. One piece of parting wisdom, but I'm going to let Edward be our last question then. If you have one thing of wisdom you want to share.
It's 1:11 right now, not PM, but it's the 11th of January. I mean, time is going quicker and quicker every year, every week, every day. So just make sure that you do what you love, because if you're not in a spot that you don't do what you love and you don't feel fulfilled, you need to find that. And you could be doing what you love, but you just don't know it because you haven't grown to the size where you appreciate it. But make sure that this year, especially this year with everything going on with the economy potentially and the labor market, that we need to all take care of ourselves better. And we need to find out what we like to do and make sure that we dedicate and allocate that time at different intervals throughout the year. Because if you just burn the candle at both ends, right, you make sure that you spend time working on ourselves or yourself and not just work 7 days a week. That's what I used to do. And it was from 6 a.m. until 11 and 12 at night, right? But it's not healthy. So we can't enjoy our goals and our vision of where we're going if we don't take care of ourselves and we get burned out and we're doing something we don't like to do. So I would definitely suggest this next couple of weeks before the end of the month to figure out what you like to do, what you're passionate about, and build your goals around that, as well as structure out your milestones for the year to make sure that you're staying accountable to yourselves and doing those things. So I want to make sure that every year I want to go to a new country, right? It's just something I love to do. So I want to make sure I put that into place where I can reboot, eat some awesome food, meet some great people, whatever that looks like, go to nature. But that's something that we can recharge as business owners coming back bigger and better and stronger than before. So without that, you get stuck. And I was there too. And you kind of plateau and then you get pissed off and your health's not the best, right? You don't have the motivation. You're not enthusiastic. People in your organization sense it. So set aside time for yourselves. Could be an hour a week, could be 1 or 2 days a month, whatever that looks like for you.
That's great wisdom. I would agree with that. Okay, before I forget, we're going to end with Edward, which what you said just led into his question. We post James links in here. Don't forget Green Industry People. He has a great community Tuesdays at 7:30 Central still.
Correct.
So you can find that on his social media. Tonight I will be joining Dave Kaminsky. He has a great community of Collaborate Live as well at 6:30 Central on Wednesdays. Always catch us here in this Facebook group and on Turfs Up at 4:30. That's a lot of times for you to remember, so we'll post all those things. And Green Industry People, if you are at Northern Green, is that even where I am? Is that what it's called? Okay. In Minneapolis, send me a message. I will be there all day tomorrow. Okay, so Edward's last question. We are over time, but we're going to ask this. James, if you could do one thing, your dream job, what would it be? What would you do? And before you answer that, I loved how you prequeled everything you said about being fulfilled into this question. And Edward, I'm just going to say, I use this question all of the time at different seasons of my life, that if I don't answer that question with what I'm doing right now, then we have a problem. I've always thought, like, what is your dream job? If it's not what I'm doing right now, I've always thought this to myself, and I remember this at the dance studio, and there have been seasons where I did not answer it like I would still do what I do now. Like, if I won the lottery and I won $1 billion, would I still be doing what I do now? And if I can answer absolutely yes, then I'm on the right path. Anyway, go ahead, James.
So this is a two-part.
Okay.
Because I think that there's hobbies and I think there's dream jobs too.
Yes.
So I don't think I would change anything because I love my team and I love helping people. So I think it'd be to help more people on a global level. Mm. However that would look like, I don't know yet because it hasn't happened yet. But I think a dream hobby / job that if somebody was just to pay me $1 billion a year, what I'd love to do is just travel and rate 5-star hotels and airlines and restaurants and cocktails.
Damn.
I don't think anybody would pay me that much to do that. But I think that would be a dream job that I'm not going to pursue because I think it'd just be more fun than anything of staying in awesome hotels throughout the world, traveling first class flights, eating at the best restaurants or having chefs come to me with their food and just sampling. I mean, I think everybody would like that, but I think that'd really be cool. And especially not even just the best hotels or the best travel. I'd like to go to like all those small little tribes or small communities throughout the world and like even third world countries and just like stay with them for a couple weeks and see and learn from them and eat their food and, you know, drink their local alcohol and just see what, like, what do they do?
Yeah.
So I can't take my life away from what I'm doing right now. But if I did have an alternate universe or alternate life where I didn't know anybody else and money wasn't an issue, I would love that and just not even have a house and just check everything out.
That is, I say that and I just prequeled with if you're not doing what you do now. But then I was just somewhere yesterday that I was like, but what if it all went away and you just like traveled from Bali to wherever with absolutely nothing but the bag on your back and learned from those people?
Or the, yeah, and just a card, like a credit card that has $1 billion on it or a debit card.
Yeah.
So you don't even need to travel with anything. You can just buy it at every place. Let's go get new clothes in Italy, right? Let's get new clothes in Asia and just leave everything, donate it.
Forget all the stuff, all the technology, all the packing.
And so I think that would be awesome.
Okay. You win at that. The 5-star restaurants and the rating all those would be pretty terrific as well.
But I'm not limiting my belief lids on that because you never know, right? I just priced out a flight from Omaha to Maldives, what first class would look like on Emirates with a suite and everything like that, just to see. And it was like $24,000. So for just the flights, right? But why get just the first class flight when you could have a 747 plane that you own to go there with your own pilot, that's going to cost you $150,000. So there's all these things that you could do. But if you don't know what the goals are of what you truly want, then there's nothing to work towards.
Dream big.
Dream big.
All right. As we close out, think of one thing you can do this week to get uncomfortable and step out into courage. Thank you again, James, for being my first guest and for the difference you have made in my life in borrowing courage and spawning new chapters. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Angela. Can't wait for all the additional guests and all the wisdom that's going to come out of your show in all the weeks to come. It's going to be awesome.
All right, everyone. Have a great week.